This episode of Chris Brown's True Stewardship is brought to you by Secure Give, the leading provider of safe and simple giving software for churches and charities that can be implemented through kiosks, online, mobile app, and text-to-give options. It's designed to grow your giving, save you time, and reach more people. Learn more at securegive.com. Ramsey Solutions presents Chris Brown's True Stewardship.
What if American households today got serious about stewardship? Not some old historic church word and not some fundraising campaign, but true biblical stewardship, managing God's blessings, God's way, for God's glory.
Welcome to Chris Brown's True Stewardship. Here's your host, Chris Brown.
Well, welcome, folks, to Chris Brown's True Stewardship. Prayer is that this show is an encouragement to you each day. Got a huge treat for you today. We are so excited to talk with special guest Mary Beth Chapman. She's here in the studio. Hey, awesome news for you guys before we get started. Did you know that we're giving away $5,000 each week this month? I know we're all saving for something, so if you're looking to add extra money to the bank, head over to stewardship.com today. Click on the $20,000 rainy day giveaway to enter your chance to win. Well, like I mentioned today, we have another special guest for our Mother's Day week. I know you've been enjoying it so far. Mary Beth Chapman is a speaker. She is a blogger, a New York Times bestselling author, and serves as the president of a nonprofit ministry, Show Hope, a movement to care for orphans. She's also the wife of Grammy and Dove Award-winning recording artist Stephen Curtis Chapman. Mary Beth, welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me. Thank you.
Now, mother of six,
yes.
Grandmother of four.
Yes.
How are the Chapmans going to be celebrating Mother's Day, and do you think you'll be surprised?
I'll be surprised only in who shows up and who doesn't.
Right.
We have kind of planning issues at our house since there's a bunch of us, but with a husband who travels and now sons who travel quite a bit and a daughter-in-law who travels quite a bit, everybody's kind of going and coming. So I'll be surprised. We will all get together in one form or fashion, but it'll be in probably shifts, you know, as they see other in-laws and such and other grandparents, and then they'll always show up. Last year, my older kids, my three oldest, the ones that are married, took me to the escape game.
Lots of fun.
I'm kind of investigative by nature and like to figure things out, so they thought I'd enjoy that, and so we went down there and had a big time.
That's cool. Well, you've already taught us something just now, that a lot of moms that are listening in might have some kind of idealistic look at what Mother's Day, being celebrated on Mother's Day, looks like, but you've just said it's going to happen in shifts. It's not going to be picture perfect,
right,
but it's going to be great anyway.
Right. Lower the expectation.
Yes. There you go. Now, you and Stephen have been together for, more than 32 years.
Yes. We'll celebrate 32 years this October.
That is so cool. Yeah. So, talk us through what the early years looked like in y'all's marriage.
Oh, well, our pastor at the time and for many, many years, Scotty Smith, said it best when he said, at any given point, it's probably holy headlock or holy wedlock.
That's good.
Those early days, we got married. I was 19 and Steve was 21, and it took us all about an hour on the drive home from the honeymoon that this was going to be hard, interesting, and difficult, and glorious, and all of it.
All his fault, I'm assuming.
Of course.
He's not here, so we can just go.
He's not here. Oh, it didn't take us long to figure out we're a lot alike in a lot of ways, but then obviously those differences that initially attract you to someone are ultimately sometimes what can really drive you crazy about the person that you love as well. But it has been, not to sound corny, but it has been truly a great adventure and full of many mountaintop experiences and many valleys as well. But
well, that's cool.
Grateful that I sit here to tell you that I've almost been married 32 years.
Thinking about the early years for you guys, obviously there were some little ones running around.
Oh, yeah.
You have any advice for, any encouragement for folks who are moms and dads, really, who've got some young ones at home now?
You know what? I realized, I told Stephen, I said, we didn't do this once. We did this twice because we have the three older that are now married and kind of settled in their life. And then we're still raising two Several years after our youngest, we dove into this crazy thing called adoption, and have just been so blessed with that experience, but are still kind of in the saddle, so to speak, with that. And then all of a sudden now we have these grandchildren. And so, you know, I realized that it is probably really good to be a little younger when you have these littles. And I tell my daughter all the time, you know what? The days are long, but the years are short. And I know that sounds like a trite little sweet saying, but it is truly
that is true. Yes.
And everything my mother always said when I rolled my eyes at her, when she'd say, just hang in there, you're going to blink your eyes and they're going to be grown and you're going to wish you had this time back, is absolutely true.
Yeah.
Because I did. I blinked my eyes, and three of mine are married, and I have four beautiful grandchildren. And so I remind my now daughter-in-law who have children to just try to treasure even the chaos, even the junk that comes with just in the trenches doing it.
Well, folks, you are listening to Chris Brown's True Stewardship. And today in studio, we're talking with Mary Beth Chapman.
We know that church leaders have big vision to impact lives, but usually don't have enough resources to make it happen. So if you can make it easier to create a culture of generosity in your church, wouldn't you do it? Secure Give is a leading provider of safe and simple giving software that can be implemented through kiosks, online, mobile app, and text-to-give options. It also has direct integration with the most popular church management systems, allowing automatic reconciliation. Nearly one-third of the top 100 churches in the U.S. use Secure Give. It's designed to grow your giving, save you time, and reach more people. Learn more at SecureGive.com.
Now, again, you're listening to Chris Brown's True Stewardship, and my conversation continues with Mary Beth Chapman. The days are
long,
and the years are short. Man, I've got an 11-year-old, a 10-year-old, and a 7-year-old right now.
You probably know what that means.
The days feel really long.
But then you look back, and all of a sudden, they're those ages, right? Was it yesterday that they were in diapers?
I know. Yeah. Isn't that wild?
Trying to soak in even the, I know it sounds crazy, but even the throw up and the dirty diapers and the up at night and the fevers and all of that, it's like it really does, in a blink of an eye, it doesn't go away. It just changes into something else.
Yeah.
It just looks like something else.
Let's stay in that vein. You had talked a little bit about three adopted daughters.
Mm-hmm.
They're from China.
Yes.
There's a funny story to how your family began your adoption journey, and it involves your oldest biological daughter, Emily.
Yep.
How did all this start?
So she and I took a trip in 1997. She was 11 years old. We went with Compassion International to Haiti.
Okay.
And it was our first time to be in a third world country and see the kind of abject poverty that Haiti has. And God really moved in her heart and in her soul, mine as well. But she was the one, when we got back, she was diligent, adamant, stubborn. The nut doesn't fall from the tree, a lot like her mother, but she was very adamant that we had room at our table and that there was not any reason we shouldn't be considering international adoption, and that we had resources and we had love and siblings to give a child who may not be able to experience that. And I think secretly, my husband, if he were here, would say secretly he was praying that for our family, but obviously also knows that a lot of that weight rest on mom and her shoulders and just the day-to-day stuff of all of that. And I couldn't not agree. It was just something that I really had to take time to pray through and kind of put one step in front of the other and really ask God to give me faith that if this was something our family was supposed to do, that by all means, I would be willing to step into it. And so, yeah, she wrote contracts and had her brother sign them. True story. I have them. I can show them to you. I have pictures. She put that idea on Christmas list. She was, you know, more than willing to do her part. So she says, you know, and said at that time. And so that led us through some very strange circumstance. People goes, well, how did you end up in China? And it's just one of those things that once we kind of submitted and felt like, God, you do have this for our family. I don't know that that's for every family, but for our family, certainly we were supposed to take steps in that direction. He clearly led us to China. And I usually answer that question with, well, that's where our daughters were. So I ended up in China, but there were some really clear, clear things that led us there. And so Shohanna, our first, came home in 2000. And then Stevie Joy followed in 2002, and then Maria in 2003.
That's cool. Well, folks, we are talking with Mary Beth Chapman, and you're listening to Chris Brown's True Stewardship, and much more about that in just a few minutes. But hey, if I told you there was only one thing that you can do to save hundreds of dollars right now, would you do it? Well, of course you would. A crazy number of people overpay for insurance without even realizing it. I know insurance is not interesting. Oh, take me back to Mary Beth. But hang with me, because it's an easy way to save hundreds of dollars. The trick is to find an independent agent. These agents work for you, not the insurance company. Did you get that? They work for you to track down the best policy for your family and for your budget. We have a network of agents who are local experts with the heart of a teacher. They won't treat you like a number. And they aren't just looking to sell you stuff. They provide top-notch service that you can trust. And check this out. It's absolutely free. Go to stewardship.com, click on Find an ELP to get connected with an independent agent in your area. Well, folks, if you're just tuning in to Chris Brown's True Stewardship, that encouraging voice that you hear is Mary Beth Chapman, and she is the New York Times best-selling author and president of her nonprofit ministry, Show Hope. She's here in studio with us. Your ministry, Show Hope, it came out of that adoption journey, and now it helps provide forever homes through adoption aid, through grants, for more than 5,000 orphans.
Yeah, we just celebrated that number. So, yeah, Stephen and I, we felt like, when, especially when we turned returned home with our first daughter, Johanna, standing, I'll never forget where I was at. I was in the airplane getting ready to walk off the plane, and that was pre-9/11, so people were still at the gate there to welcome us. And I really felt like God was speaking to our heart that Stephen had a platform, and that there were going to be people, Christian families, that would say, we'd be willing to step into this. We get this. We see this. We feel God calling us to this, but we don't have the financial resources. So I kind of felt that before we ever got off the plane. And sure enough, again, if my husband were here, he would say people started realizing that that was our passion. And I began saying, all you need is money? Okay, well, here, and start writing checks. And, you know, he makes a joke about how a line began to form around the, you know, the building, and couldn't see the end of the line, and he had to write more songs. But truly what happened was we did see a huge need, and we thought, okay, this is bigger than ourselves. My husband can use his platform. Who then is maybe doing this that we could partner with? And we really couldn't find an organization. And so we began in those early years working with the adoption agency we had used, and said, you know, can you help us kind of get something off the ground? And we thought in those early days, wouldn't it be great someday if we could celebrate 100 grants that we were able to help fund, 100 adoptions. Not the full amount. Right. We always see, we love watching communities, church, schools, neighborhoods come around families and help them raise the funds that they need for their adoption. And so these partial grants kind of help kind of light a fuel under them and help them kind of, it's just kind of wind in their sails, so to speak. And so, yeah, we thought, well, wouldn't it be great if we could help 100 families? And then this past year we celebrated 5,000 families that have been touched. Those children have come home from 53 different nations, and obviously one of the top countries is the United States right here in domestic adoption. So we're really excited about that.
You should be. That's pretty incredible. Now, specifically, I want to kind of dive down a little bit deeper into this and tell us a little bit about Maria's Big House of Hope.
Okay. So Maria's Big House of Hope is probably one of the most special things in my heart about Show Hope. We early on, again, in our adoption journey, Stephen felt like he really wanted to be able to go back to China and give a gift to the people of China, his music. And so early on, he was welcomed. It's been really interesting because in China, you do have to be careful with your faith and what you say and what you know, do and don't do. Mm-hmm. And he's been able to sing and do what it is he does. It's been a really interesting thing. I think God's favor or, yeah. I don't know, he also does a mean John Denver and they love John Denver. So as long as he's singing Rocky Top, I guess
exactly,
let
yeah.
him come and sing.
They love good entertainment.
So he wanted to give the gift back of music. And then we just continued to see the huge need of orphans in China. And because of our daughters being from China, I felt a specific call to help with the ones that weren't going to be coming home anytime soon. And so this idea began, you know, could we find a partner that was already on the ground in China doing great work, great Christian work, because not being able to share the gospel just verbally, but if you can do it in action, you know, how much exponentially can be done when you're just serving the least of the least. And so through a lot of twists and turns and just chance meetings, we met up with Robin and Joyce Hill, our operating partners in China, and began to talk about what would it look like to build a care center for children who needed surgeries and really intense medical treatment. Along that time, we lost our youngest daughter in an accident at our home, and that was our youngest, Maria. And because of that, so many people wanted to bless us and tell us they were praying for us that they began to give funds to this fund called Maria's Miracle Fund. And so basically, out of our daughter's passing away, this building called Maria's Big House of Hope was built, and it's a six-story building in China, right in the heart of China, that cares for China's sickest orphans. And even in that, we have over 500 kids. Of those 5,000 kids that came home, 500 of them have been cared for at Maria's. We've cared for over 2,000 children in China. And wow. And when I say some of these children are going to pass away, so they pass away with dignity and knowing the love of a caretaker, some of these children are have some serious operations. We fund surgeries, and then they are able to be moved into the system to be able to be placed for adoption. And then some of them are able to become healthy, and they move back into the social welfare institute, and then probably adoption will happen there as well. So
that's cool. Very
yeah.
cool. Well, folks, we are listening to Chris Brown's True Stewardship, and today's guest, Mary Beth Chapman. Obviously, she's a speaker and a blogger and New York Times bestselling author, and you've known her for quite some time, most of you out there. But let's talk a little bit about, maybe people don't know you as an author, and let's talk a little bit about your bestselling book, Choosing to See. It was written about the loss of your daughter, Maria Sue, back in 2008. What made you decide to write about that? You know, we talked a little bit about stewarding for God's glory. I'm assuming that was part of the motive.
Sure.
But walk us through that.
It was really difficult. I have a lot of people still to this day will express their gratefulness that I was able to pen my journey through the loss of our daughter, and will ask me if I'm going to write another book. And my answer is usually, well, I'm not an author. I'm a storyteller. God entrusted me with a story. And then I feel like he asked me to tell it. And a lot of that was based on the fact that it wasn't just the loss of our daughter, that it was really going back and telling a bigger part of my story. And even pre-losing Maria and some of the early days of Stephen and I's marriage and the hard of that and having him on the road traveling and some of my dealings with clinical depression. I wanted to talk about that because when I met with the publishers, I said, I'm going to do this story. It's going to be the only way I know how to do it. For people who know me, it's just kind of like, blah. It's going to just kind of puke it out. Yeah.
Yes.
And so I have to be honest, and I need to be able to just say, this is how God has redeemed the story or is redeeming the story. If I were ever to write again, I think what I would love to do is write an epilogue to that book, because I get to witness the goodness of God in the land of the living, is what I like to say, because our son was, Will Franklin, was involved with in the accident. And so obviously I live life with my son, and I can tell the goodness of how God has restored and redeemed and is and moving him through life, because that's not easy, and it's not easy for our family to take the next step. And there's days that it's harder. But to be able to tell that story and then look back and say, but here's where God's carried us.
Yeah.
So I wanted to tell some of the early stuff because I could give witness to here's how God carried us to here. And then now this huge tragedy has happened, and it was all of my honest blogging. It was all of my just response to the anger, to the disillusionment, all of it, the faith, the free fall of faith is what I like to tell people I took. And so a decision was made. It's like, okay, if you'll let me write honestly and then partner me with somebody that can kind of, you know, put it together in some type of timeline, then I'll try to minister to people or help people that may be in a similar situation.
Yeah. So walk us through that moment where you are making the final decision on the title.
That was not as hard as you might expect, because the title of the book is Choosing to See. And the day of the accident, our youngest daughter, Maria, we did not know. The only thing I'd ever seen her write is her name, Maria, and then the words, I love Mom and I love Dad. Mm. Pretty basic for beginner writers.
Yeah.
And the day of the accident, Maria left a piece of paper on her little art table, and it had a partial flower drawn, and then on the flip side of the piece of paper was the word C. And best we can figure is she probably got it from her older sister's sight words. You know, C is a sight word, but she wrote that word. And we had been just begging God for any kind of comfort in those first hours and days of our loss, and then just all the prayers prayed over our son. And when we found that word, we really felt like God was asking us to just trust him and then eventually see the goodness of that God was going to bring. And that's still hard to say today, because I would give anything to go back and have her here. So it goes without saying that I would rather it have been this way. But because it was this way, we wanted to choose to see that God was faithful, is faithful, is going to be faithful. And so C needed to be part of the title. So that became kind of an easy thing. And so then it became relatively easy to say, well, I want it to be an active choosing. I'm still choosing. I have to choose it tomorrow, because I wake up sometimes and go, okay, I don't want to choose it. I just want to shake my fist and be mad again.
Yeah.
And so it's kind of that ebbing and flowing of taking 10 steps forward, 5 steps back, 20 steps forward, 50 steps back, depending on mood and what's going on and, you know, everything. So the title was probably easier than anything.
Well, that's just a huge takeaway. There's so much that goes into that, that every day, every hour, every minute's a choice on how you see things. I love this quote from the book. You tell us, real success in the kingdom of God is not about being strong and looking good and knowing all the right answers. It's about continually yielding oneself to Jesus and determining to take purposeful little steps of obedience, and the ragged reality that it's all about God and his grace at work in us. And I just thank you for living that out and being so inspiring to us when it comes to this work and just choosing to write it.
Well, thank you. I say a lot when I speak, the verse that talks about God's word being a lamp unto my feet and light unto my path.
Yeah.
I always have that visual of just that circle of light that doesn't go out very far.
Yeah.
And that's been so symbolic in so much of my life.
Yeah.
You can only see so far, right? And so then you get to that edge, and then he gives you just enough to see to take those faith steps to go a little bit further. And in particular, in the loss of Maria, that's really how we've had to live. We choose to see it day after day after day, and he gives us what we need to get through another day. And he's good. He is good.
Yeah. Folks, the book is Choosing to See. And of course, we have a link there at stewardship.com for you to check out more information about that. Now, Mary Beth, as a mom, you're now seeing your daughter and son as new parents.
Mm-hmm.
What's it like for you to watch your daughter grow into motherhood? Have you given her any advice? And how about this one? Is there any advice that you have on how to give advice?
You know, I'll answer that part first. I've made a conscious decision to not offer much advice unless she just straight up says, Mom, I need your advice.
Okay.
Because for people who know me, I am not at lack of an opinion. straight shooter. I'm an opinion giver. So I find myself going, oh my gosh, you know what? Everything's different. And it's just, I thought that about my mom. I'm sure my mom's going, well, everything's different now, but it truly is really different. So the advice, I kind of way lay off on the advice to my daughter-in-law and to my daughter, and try to let them figure it out. If they ask me point blank, then I'll give my opinion, and they know that I have one, so it's not like they can't probably assume it about me. But and then this is crazy, but I'm just gonna tell on Stephen and I. Sometimes we get into bed at night and we just do this evil laugh, like it's them, it's not us, it's them,
it's them awesome.
That's going through this. No, you know, it really is true. Grandparenting is awesome because you get to give the kids back at the end of the day. I love the more they come, the better it is. I like chaos at my house. I love that they come to see me. You know, it's fun watching our children parent. You see some of the things. Obviously, it becomes a glaring thing of, oh, I could write the book on what not to do now, parent, on what I did, you know, with the first three,
right,
for sure. And but watching them just invest in the lives of these little people, and you see Stephen and I and our personalities kind of oozing out of them, and for good and evil, just our besetting sin, you know, that comes out. But it's fun to watch. It really, really is.
And Mary Beth, you brought three books with you that we can share with our listeners. These are signed copies of Choosing to See. So thank you for bringing those. Mm-hmm. Hey, folks, if you want to win a copy of Choosing to See by Mary Beth Chapman, go to my Facebook or Twitter or Instagram, either one of those, and find our post about today's show and just reply with maybe your best tip for moms. And then we'll... pick three random winners to win her encouraging book, this encouraging book from Mary Beth Chapman. And Mary Beth, thank you so much for hanging out with us
today. Well, thank you for having me. I appreciate it.
Well, folks, don't forget, head over to stewardship.com and enter the $20,000 rainy day giveaway. Consider yourself reminded. We're giving away $5,000 to one person each week this month. I don't know what you're saving for, but I do know that $5,000 should help. Go to stewardship.com, just click the link, submit your information, and you'll be entered to win. Folks, as we close, may we all be reminded that when we are weak, we are made strong because of Christ. God bless you.